Good morning. Thank you, Frank, for leading us in songs of praise to our God. I'd like to welcome our visitors. We have a number of visitors with us this morning. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. If there's anything we can do for you, please don't hesitate to let us know. We'll be glad to help you in any way we can. Have a couple of prayer requests that we'll read before we get into our lesson. First, an update on Tracy. His surgery went well. He developed a secondary infection, and they're treating it with antibiotics, and he says he's feeling a little bit better every day, and hopefully, I know he's itching to get out of the hospital, but keep him and Marion in your prayers. But his surgery went well, and he's looking forward to coming home, and I'm sure coming back here. They said that they would be with us online, so we send a loving hello to Tracy and Marion. We have some prayer requests. One of them says, please pray for my friend Rita. She has a history of stroke and has been hospitalized since early March. She is in very serious condition, so we need to keep Rita in our prayers. And Crystal Lindo writes, just thanking the church for their prayers, cards, and text messages regarding my prayer about the custody issues my family was having. God is hearing our prayers and making things happen. I'm very thankful and blessed. Glory be to God. Please continue to keep us in your prayers. Last week, I mentioned Preston Williams, and I don't see him here today, but Preston had given a note to read, and I just kind of blew through it and paraphrased, and it deserves the time to read it word for word. And he says, South Valley family, I would like to take this time to say thank you for your prayers, texts, and calls leading up to my recent and during my recent procedure. He had had a stent put in. They were definitely heard and answered by our Father. My procedure went well, and I'm starting to feel better already. I would also like to take this time to place my membership with South Valley Church of Christ. I've enjoyed worshiping with the family here for the last few months and look forward to working and serving alongside you. We are so blessed as Christians to be able to move just about anywhere on the planet and have brothers and sisters connected by the bond of blood that not everyone chooses to accept or have. They have no idea what they are missing out on. In him, Preston Williams. We should use Preston's message as just the basis of a lesson today. That's a wonderful message. But he passed that up last week, and I did it a great injustice by just kind of blowing through that and paraphrasing and looking at it again and realizing that needed to be read. We're going to continue a study today, kind of a part two on the world. Last week, we looked at two different concepts. A lot of times people use the phrase the world in quite different ways. We looked last week at the world as it's, you know, the physical earth and the inhabitants that were created by God, and though everything that has been created gives glory to God. It gives testimony to God. We looked at that. And also we looked at the idea, the concept of the world as the people that live on earth. You know, the people. Sometimes in the Bible we will see the world and it's talking about the physical earth. Sometimes we will see the world mentioned, and it's talking about the people, you know. And I'd like to continue today, and the third way to look at the world is the realm of Satan. You know, a lot of times we talk about being out in the world. That's the realm of Satan. You know, we are a minority here while this short time that we're given to live in the world. And the world is sin. It's the actions, our attitudes that we do or don't do. It's everything and anything that opposes God and his word. And I'd like to look at that today. In 1 John, and this is the passage that Sam read just a few minutes ago, the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15, he says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Sometimes when we talk about the world, that's what it is. It's the world of Satan. We arm ourselves, we prepare ourselves, we energize ourselves here together with our brothers and sisters every week to go out and face another week in that world and do battle in the world. In Genesis 6, verse 5, one of the things that really strikes me in Genesis, just how fast it took people in general, to turn away from God. You know, it didn't even take Adam and Eve long. And they were in the garden with God. But it took six chapters for God to get ready to destroy the world by a flood, to tell Noah to start building an ark, start preaching to the people, hopefully that they will repent. And in Genesis 6, verse 5, it says, "Then God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's what the people in the world were like. So bad that God, seeing that wickedness, decided they need to be punished. He gave them a chance to repent through Noah, and they refused. And he destroyed the world and its inhabitants. John 19, this comes just a couple of verses after the "God so loved the world" passage, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And in just a couple verses later, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and the men loved darkness rather than the light." What a sad commentary. The men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Sad state of affairs, sad assessment of man. In Romans 12, verse 2, Paul is telling the Romans and thus us, he says, and do not be conformed to this world. It's not being conformed to the trees or being conformed to other people. Don't be conformed to this world, the realm of Satan. Don't be like that, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3, Paul wrote, in which you once walked. Paul brings up the idea, it's not rubbing it in, but it's a reminder. He told the Ephesians, he told the Corinthians, he reminded the Romans, you used to be like this, but you changed. And he says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We used to be like that. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul goes through a whole list of calling our deeds out, what we used to do. Not as a rubbing our nose in it, but as a look where you used to be and where you came from and look at what you've become. But Paul is telling the Ephesians the same thing. You used to walk like this according to the course of this world. This world is not your world. You used to be like that. A few chapters later in Ephesians, he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is that realm of Satan. This is that world that Satan is the king of. That's our fight. It's not against an individual. It's not against people. It's not a physical fight. It is a spiritual fight. And don't take it lightly, because that spiritual fight is for our souls. That's what we're in this fight for. And we can't let the devil win. In Colossians, Paul gave them a stern warning. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. He's telling Timothy in the last recorded letter that we have, in 2 Timothy, he's urging Timothy to come to him. He needs him. But bring Mark with you. He's useful to me. And he's explaining how people have abandoned him. And he says, Demas has forsaken me. Demas used to be a follower, a helper, a co-worker of his. Gave him great help and aid in the cause of Christ. But he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He's not loving the trees and the mountains and the flowers. He's loving what the sinful world has to offer. And it says he's departed for Thessalonica. We've seen what this world in this case looks like. James gives not only a warning, but kind of a condemnation. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, that gets your attention. It's easy when he's saying it to somebody else. But he's telling it to us too. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Those are the only choices. You're either for him or against him. And if we're siding with the world, we're becoming an enemy of God. What is our response to the world? To God's creation, to the people that live in the world, and to this realm of Satan. What is our response? How do we react to this? What is our responsibility and duty? Mark 16, in Mark's account of the Great Commission, Jesus said, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That's one of our responses, one of our responsibilities to the world. One, to go into the world and preach the gospel to the people of the world. In Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells the people in the crowd listening to him, he says, you are the light of this world, of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's one of our responsibilities, is to show others our light, which is the light of Christ. Show that light to others. In Philippians, Paul writes that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. A crooked and perverse generation. You'd think it was Paul was writing this in 2024. It was written in the first century. That we shine as lights in the world to a crooked and perverse generation. It doesn't take much to look around and to see that we are quite different. We live different. We look out of different eyes than the rest of the world does. James 1:27, James writes, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's a big responsibility. to keep ourselves in this crooked and perverse generation, to keep ourselves unspotted and pure in living while we're here on this earth. One of my favorite verses, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That is a duty of ours, to while we're living here, to be steadfast and immovable. Do not let that world affect us. We've got to live here. You know, Jesus taught the concept, we've got to live in the world, but don't be of the world. Don't be of them. Stand out. Let your light shine. And closing up, Jesus, through the Apostle John, would tell us to be faithful until death. Not until the going gets tough. Not until it becomes uncomfortable for you. Not be faithful only when you've got to sacrifice a little too much. Be faithful until death. Well, Jesus couldn't expect us to do something that would cause us to die. Jesus never asks us anything that he himself didn't demonstrate. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. You survive this crooked and perverse generation of people, and you remain unspotted by this world, I will give you a crown of life. That's our duty. That's our responsibility. We use that term, we see the term, the world, in our Bibles many times. Sometimes it's talking about the great and glorious earth that God created for us to live in. Sometimes it's talking about the people of the world. And sometimes it's talking about the realm of Satan. We have different responsibilities. We can use that earthly creation to preach God. God does it without saying a word. Just look at his creation. And it boasts his glory. We have a responsibility to take the word to the people. And then also to remain unspotted from that crooked and perverse generation. If we can be of service to you through prayer, if you need to repent, if Jesus quoted Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. If you believe in God but have not put your Lord on in baptism, we can assist you. If you would like to study more with, there's plenty of us that would be more than willing to sit down and study with you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Frank leads us in the invitation song. Listen to the words of this song, "This world is not my home."